Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Seven years ago, Florida had a weak rainy day fund and modest budget reserves. Today, working together, we have more than tripled our rainy day fund and more than doubled our budget reserves. In the past 7 years, we've retired almost half of all of Florida's taxpayer-supported debt that had been accumulated throughout the entire history of our state. And because the legislature has supported efforts to accelerate repayment of this debt, we've saved more than $1 billion on principal and interest costs. Florida.
Yeah, one of the things about DeSantis is when he gives a speech, sometimes you can tell that he's not quite sure where the clap line is. And so, which happens to everybody, okay? I just think that he in particular is not, you know, he'll start talking, okay. You're gonna, but also, he gets to where he thinks there's a clap line, there's no clap, and then that's awkward too. But this is a good speech yesterday. It was a rah-rah speech, which is perfectly fine. It's part of what the state of the state is supposed to be.
For the past 3 years, Florida's economy has been ranked number one in the nation by CNBC. Florida represents about 6.5% of the U.S. population, yet since 2020, our economy has accounted for more than 14% of all new jobs produced throughout America. 7 years ago, Florida's economy was roughly $1 trillion. Today, it is approaching $1.8 trillion, an increase of close to 80%.
Yeah, various economic indicators being better, and the, you know, the massive growth in the economy is a good thing.
In the past 7 years, Florida has attracted more income than any other state has ever attracted over a similar period of time in the entire history of the United States of America.
So obviously economic growth in the state has been a tremendous thing. Also, education improvements have been a major win under DeSantis.
7 years ago, Florida's school choice options were capped. They were limited. Today, we have universal school choice and rank as the number one state in the union for parental empowerment and education freedom. To better measure performance, we replace high-stakes testing with more reliable and consistent progress monitoring. In fact, today I can announce that the high school graduation rate for the 24-25 school year was 92.2%. That is the highest graduation rate in Florida history.
Yeah, and by the way, we have the rates are in for Santa Rosa and Escambia schools. They're very good. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But also, you know, things about education in terms of improving civics education, a very important part, I think, a very important part of what DeSantis has done to reform education in Florida.
7 years ago, Florida had a modest approach to civics education and limited availability for speech and debate programs. Today, we are leading the nation with a renewed emphasis on civics education, and we offer the most robust speech and debate initiative in America.
Which I love that. I'm a big believer in that. In fact, it hits on some of the themes he talked about a little bit earlier in the speech. This is actually like the second half of the speech, because I want to talk about some of the earlier stuff a little bit later on in the show. But, you know, improving even the orientation of education in Florida.
7 years ago, many took for granted that education was held captive by the ideological fads championed by the political left. Not us. We've defeated attempts to force boys into girls' sports, to inject gender ideology into elementary schools, and to deny parents the right to direct the education and upbringing of their children. We have ensured that our schools have a duty to educate, not a right to indoctrinate.
Most of which that he has done in that regard, I think, has actually been very, very good. And so, you know, I support and am eager to see it and you know, proud to have it take place, including some of the other reforms. Again, had our education, I'll get to in a second. Talking about helping kids be better off with regards to the work of Hope Florida, which, by the way, is not the same as the Hope Florida Foundation and the scandal surrounding that. That's a separate issue. So, but I agree with him, and the numbers here are actually pretty impressive.
By leaning into our faith community, we have seen a historic 47% reduction in the number of children entering our child welfare system and seen more than 33,000 Floridians reduce their reliance on public assistance, netting a budgetary savings of almost $130 million on an annual basis. We have proven...
That's massive. I mean, that... Look, improving the numbers of kids who are in need, reducing the number of kids who are on child welfare programs, that's fantastic. And then again, higher education reforms. I have said repeatedly that the things that he has done with higher education, the things he's done specifically at UWF and to some degree at PSC trouble me. I think are wrong and foolish and stupid and juvenile, frankly, a lot of times. But the general reforms in terms of tenure and opening freedom for discussion up in college campuses have been extremely good.
Florida has the number one ranked public higher education system in America, and we have by far the lowest resident tuition in the nation. We were the first state to eliminate DEI, to spearhead accreditation reforms, and to authorize the termination of tenured professors who perform poorly.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Allowing teachers who even have tenure to be able to not be rehired, to be fired for that. Having, you know, post-tenure review. I have never understood. I mean, I understand the arguments for it, but I have never supported the idea of lifelong teaching appointments because... When I was just even a college student, I saw how bad this was because we had a vivid example. I had a teacher who actually was, you know, a fine teacher of a sort, but he would teach, you know, Plato and the classics, and he was hired to teach that. He was also one of the most prominent gay activists in the country, Richard Moore. Yes, the most prominent gay activist was Dick Moore. That's just true. It's funny. But he was one of my professors. I actually took a seminar in queer theory from him, if you can believe that, as a graduate student. So I'm well familiar with this. It's kind of funny. People, well, Andrew, you know, you're just anti-gay and you don't know anything about the subject. Oh, really? Let me tell you what I know. Anyway, but he deliberately taught one way in order to get tenure and then just said, all right, I've got tenure and I'm going to do what I want. And it wasn't that he was a terrible teacher. He wasn't. I mean, he was mean. That's just true. But and actually a pretty effective teacher in a lot of ways. But he deliberately gamed the system so that he could get the security to do what he wanted to do. And then he did what he wanted to do after that. And there was nothing they could do about it. So I've seen this in practice. So he's right that we should not have lifetime without real review appointments for tenure.
These programs embrace the values that comprise the foundation not just of the American Republic, but of Western civilization itself. We reject the ideological fads that have diminished the value of higher education. We require our universities to be dedicated to the pursuit of truth, the honoring of merit, and the preparation of our students to be good citizens of this republic. We promised reform and we delivered the most far-reaching higher education reforms in the entire nation.
And again, that is all good stuff. That's important stuff. He also touted our ability to respond to hurricanes.
We've now gone through four major hurricanes in the last 4 years, and each storm has witnessed the most robust response on record. Rapid rescue missions, massive resources marshaled and deployed, and the fastest power restorations in state history. We even rebuilt a bridge that had been destroyed in just a matter of 3 days. We've saved lives and we've helped our people rebuild their lives after these life-changing events. To our first responders and emergency management personnel, I say very simply, job well done.
No, that's very good stuff. I mean, that's definitely important stuff, and I'm glad to see him touting it. And certainly, they, you know, the state deserves the credit for some of that stuff. And then even in terms of reforming our criminal environment and making it safer for Floridians.
We rejected the movement to defund the police, refused to kowtow to rioting and looting, and have the strongest laws against retail theft in the nation. When a member of a group of thieves was interviewed on CNN, and they ask, why do you steal in New York even though you like spending the money in Florida? The response was very simple from the thief. Because in Florida, they put you in jail. You're doggone right we do.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Watch the language there, sir. Doggone. I mean, you know, he's so cute when he swears, I think, quite frankly. All right. Also, other stuff, just generally things that he wanted to celebrate for the state.
We've accomplished so much more. Record support for congestion relief and accelerated transportation projects, the restoration and expansion of Second Amendment rights, protections for the sanctity of human life, ranked number one for religious liberty amongst the states, unprecedented support for cancer research and funding, the largest Gulf red snapper season on record, and we're now working to expand that to the Atlantic, the most sweeping election integrity measures in the country, the kneecapping of ESG in our investments and within our electric grid, and working with President Ben Albritton, the most investment in rural Florida in history, not to mention four Stanley Cups, a Super Bowl, a college basketball national championship, and on Monday, God willing, we're going to have the University of Miami play for a national championship in their home stadium.
It's kind of, you know, DeSantis is a lawyer, right? So truth, facts matter a lot to him. Good reasoning, sound argumentation. I actually think I am suspicious that in that little, you know, set of comments that he was making, that even he recognized that there was something about that that wasn't going to turn out to be true, you know. And so he knew he couldn't say, and on Monday, God willing, a national championship in football. So instead he kind of reverted to they'll be playing in their home stadium, which is a workaround because, well, they will be playing. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, unless there's some catastrophe, right? That will happen. So that one's a safe bet because even he knows, like, this game is not going to be won by the University of Miami. Although, you know, any game, anybody, any team, any day, that's always possible. Last couple of comments that he had, important to talk about AI. That's future-oriented issues that need to solve.
Can also further devolve our society into a focus not on substance but on online slop. Ultimately, these technologies will be designed by human beings. As Ecclesiastes instructs us, there is nothing new under the sun. The technology may change, the window dressing may be different, but human nature is what it is. An AI tool is only as good as the data that is inputted, garbage in, garbage out. Whoever controls the data inputs will have immense power to shape the reality for hundreds of millions, maybe billions of people in ways that could make the truth a foreign concept.
Right. And we are all worried about that. This is big stuff that we're trying to solve and ward off the dangers for it.
We have a responsibility to ensure that new technologies develop in ways that are moral and ethical, in ways that reinforce our American values, not in ways that erode them. We welcome technologies that enhance the human experience, but not those purporting to supplant it. We can never relieve ourselves of our responsibilities to think for ourselves as Floridians, as Americans, and most importantly, as the human beings that are made in the image of God.
So all in all, a generally very good speech, you know, there were some elements I have not played yet that I'll play later on in the day. I thought actually Ben Albritton's or Senator Albritton's speech was actually quite good, and we'll talk about that. And even, frankly, the response from Lori Berman, Senator Lori Berman, and Fentress Driscoll, who I've always said her name wrong, and I always hate when I've said a person's name wrong for years, and then she says it, I'm like, oh. Okay. Sorry. It is my fault. You know, I should have known better. The one thing I would have wished, and this is not going to be different. And I will say this about a lot of politicians. It's not unique to DeSantis. I only wish there had been more acknowledgement of the challenges. I'm a big believer in, if you're making a case, making an argument, admit the things that people will say against you early, often, and emphatically. Here's what I mean. You can say all this good stuff and then, you know, say, okay, look, we have done a lot of good things, but we are facing some very serious challenges that are very hard to solve. The affordability of housing is a problem. Infrastructure has not kept up with population growth. That's a problem. Insurance for homes and cars is a problem. It has gotten a little bit better, but it is still out of control. You know, I personally would like to hear some of that. Just acknowledge it. You know, if you admit it and say, hey, you know, this is a problem, well, then your opponents only sound like idiots if they come say, well, you know, insurance and affordability is a problem. Well, yeah, I said that. But it's undeniable. But so much of the time we want to hide the bad thing out of the fear that if maybe, or the false belief that if we don't say it, nobody will notice. Everybody notices. Everybody knows. And so why not acknowledge it? Well, that's a style approach, right? And that's the difference between how I would do things and how DeSantis does things. And how, I mean, Trump never does this. I think he's incapable of doing it. I'm asking him to be something that he's not, which might be unfair. But anyway, very good speech yesterday. Like I said, the other stuff, comments by others, we'll get to in a little bit later on the show. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Are you 50 or older? This news is for you. The CDC recommends you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. Even if you're healthy, your age puts you at risk. People 50 or older are over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia compared to adults 18 to 49. Just one shot can help protect you. Learn more and schedule at VaxAssist.com. That's VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekdays 2 till 4, right after Markley Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
This is the top of the heap right here. There's no question about it. Look at the flame on that one.
Yes.
Look, I mean, it's quite unbelievable.
Just a little more time is all we're asking for. Just a little more time could open closing doors. Just a little longer.
Good morning, 5:28 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Homeland Security presence in Minnesota is dwarfing the Twin Cities' largest police forces. 1,000 new federal agents could soon be operating in Minnesota. That'd be bigger than the 10 largest metro police departments there combined. The increased federal presence happening following the deadly shooting of Renee Good by an ICE officer. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey called the scale of the enforcement surge disproportionate during one of his interviews. NASA preparing for its first ever medical evacuation from the International Space Station. The four members of Crew 11 are expected to undock from the ISS later today with a splashdown off the coast of California set for tomorrow. And preliminary numbers are showing a drop in Obamacare enrollment. According to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, 22.8 million consumers signed up for 2026 individual market health insurance compared to the 23.6 million consumers who enrolled around this time last year. Consumers have until January 15th to sign up for marketplace plans.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh.
This is good.
I can't. I'm gonna pass.
Okay.
I'm getting texts in related to my former professor and his name. That I'm just gonna, even in the 5 o'clock hour, I'm gonna pass. They're not really FCC violations. They're just more violations of good taste, but still funny.
Fox News. I'm CJ Papa. President Trump stands with protesters in Iran who are making a life and death decision by showing their disdain for the leaders of the Islamic Republic who are responsible for the deaths of more than 2,600 protesters, according to a human rights group.
Keep protesting. Take over your institutions, if possible, and save the name of the killers and the abusers that are abusing you. You're being very badly abused.
First execution of a protester reportedly set for some time today. ICE protesters in the streets of Minneapolis.
The cycle of clashes between protesters and federal agents continue. At one point last night, a group gathered outside of a hotel where they thought ICE agents were staying. Earlier yesterday, crowd control methods had to be deployed as demonstrators focused anti-immigration enforcement activity near federal buildings.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 47 degrees. We've got cloudy skies here across the area. We'll get to our full forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's on the way here in just a few minutes. Well, Pensacola could pick its new police chief today. Three finalists yesterday met with residents at a public candidates forum at the Sanger Theater. Those finalists are former Tampa police chief Brian Dugan.
This is such an important position. You know, the job of a police officer is so important, and it's a tremendous responsibility. And to be the chief of police is an even greater responsibility.
Current PPD deputy police chief Eric Goss.
And I'm just so honored to be that my local department has backed me. So many of you in the community that backed me. It is overwhelming and it's humbling. And I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to continue to grow this as the best police department that ever.
And Grand Rapids, Michigan, Police Chief Eric Winstrom.
It's easy to find people like me from Buffalo, from Chicago, from the Northeast, live in Pensacola. It's harder to find people from Pensacola that move to those places because this is a very special city.
And city officials will be asking those three finalist questions today during live streamed interviews. And if there's a candidate that stands out, they could potentially be offered the job, although no timeline for a decision on that has been announced. Well, the number of abortions in Florida have significantly dropped. Austin Price with some details.
According to state data, about 44,000 abortions were reported for 2025, which is down from nearly 65,000 the year before. It was the first full year under a law that bans most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. The law took effect in May of 2024. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce calling on federal leaders to expand military training locally and keep oil rigs out of the Gulf. The chamber sending letters to Washington supporting NAS Pensacola as a site for a new Coast Guard training center. A separate letter was sent to the Bureau of Ocean Management opposing an expansion of offshore drilling in the Eastern Gulf. The chamber cited the lasting economic damage from the 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill and said drilling could also interfere with area military operations. Now, Pensacola sanitation customers will see their trash pickup delayed next week for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Monday customers will be moved over to Tuesday. Tuesday customers will be picked up on Wednesday. Thursday and Friday routes shouldn't be affected. This would only apply to Pensacola sanitation customers. You can call the city with any questions you might have on that. 534 News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
We are going to be seeing some light showers through those early morning hours. Then temperatures will be warming up near 60 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. For Thursday, staying chilly and breezy, sunny skies, high near 49. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 30 degrees. Keeping some sunshine around on Friday with a high near 56. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 41. Stick it back at Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it is 47 degrees, cloudy skies right now. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Just over 4 years after Facebook changed its name to Meta, the company is scaling back its virtual reality ambitions. Meta said it is cutting about 10% of its staff who focus on metaverse-related VR projects as part of its Reality Labs unit. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services reports that roughly 1.5 million people dropped their Affordable Care Act marketplace health insurance plans by early January. The decline comes as enhanced federal subsidies for ACA premiums expired at the end of 2025, sending premium payments soaring for many this year. Percepta AI executives said Palantir is attempting to scare workers from leaving and is trying to prevent the startup from growing. Palantir sued the Percepta employees, who used to work for Palantir late last year, accusing them of stealing trade secrets and trying to poach top talent. Futures are moderately lower. On Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 398, the NASDAQ down 24, the S&P 500 down 13. That's your money now.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 5:38 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday I had a great chance to talk with Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons about a variety of things. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great, great. We've been talking all day about you.
So it's good morning. Is that what you're telling
me? Yeah, it is. We're talking about the Real-Time Crime Center.
Okay.
Capabilities are amazing. Posted a video for it, shared on our Facebook page. You can see for yourself. We've been talking about it all morning. And this was your baby. Like, you brought this back from New York as an idea, right? Wasn't it you? Or was it one of your other deputies? I may have miscredited.
No, I brought it back. I'm not sure about it. It was not from New York. New York has something similar, yes. But there's a lot of other agencies that have and still have a real-time crime center. So I don't know if I would say it was from New York.
Okay. I thought Andy had said that, but I may have misheard it. But basically, this gives you, in real time, as the name implies, the ability to look into any available camera whether it's on a drone or I presume in the future on even on a body camera, although that capability is not there yet. But, you know, if a business is signed up or if Lamar billboards or if a school or a park or wherever there is an available or from your little trailers, you know, that you pop up the post right. on.
Mobile trailers.
Yeah, you have the ability to look at a camera and see what's going on and relay that information in real time to your deputies who are responding, right?
That's correct. And it's always a work in progress, right? Mm-hmm. You've seen and I guess you posted videos of what it looks like right now, but mm-hmm. we continue to upgrade and we continue to add to it. You saw, as I would imagine, like Pensacola Beach, for instance, you saw phase one. There's some cameras on the boardwalk area. But we're actively working on phase two, which is going to be more cameras on the casino beach parking lot area. Mm-hmm. I just want to remind people, these are public areas. These are on roadways. Mm-hmm. There are some businesses that have signed up. But, again, these are the cameras that are facing the roadway. We do not have access, real-time access to individuals' cameras. Like if Andrew McKay wants to be a part of this program, yeah, we don't have access to your cameras. If we have an incident in your area, we'll send you an email and you can look at your cameras yourself and decide whether you want to share that with us or not. So it is real time with regards to the cameras that we have on fixed sites and intersections and public areas and the beach, some in Montclair. We do have some cameras that we can see real time, but we don't see the residential cameras in real time.
And it's important to note that it's voluntary to participate in even getting that email. But correct. It used to be, you know, what you used to have to do is send a sheriff's deputy out and canvass the neighborhood and look in the eaves of all the houses and see who's got ring, you know, doorbell and see who's got cameras. Knock, knock. Hey, we're trying to solve a crime. Would it be possible for you to look at your camera? You know,
we used to go to a neighbor's house and with a notepad and say, have you seen anything suspicious?
Yeah.
And now that we, you know, then we start looking at the people that had the cameras because you can see in, mm-hmm. in many cases that people have security cameras right. in their area or businesses. If you recall the Naomi Jones case, we went to a business in the area and we were able to see the car that the suspect took to the area to discard the body. And so that's, again, that was years ago. So we're even more capable than we were back then.
And it's interesting because, over the years, as your capabilities develop and progress, I know you guys have always been cautious about telling the public some of this stuff because you don't want the criminals to know what you're able to do, just like you don't reveal sources and methods, and just like, you know, right. the CIA and the NSA don't tell everybody what they're capable because you don't want the bad guys to know what you can do. But I remember with Naomi Jones particularly, I was talking to Andy Hobbs about this, that, I was asking him, well, what about this business over here and these cameras over here? And he's like, we're working on it. You know, which was and I always want to put mission first. I always want to protect your right. ability to do your job. But I remember at the time thinking, okay, yeah, you know, this is the point. We're using these resources and we're good at this.
Well, we've been pretty open with our capabilities in the real-time crime scene. We've given
yep.
tours,
yep.
As you know, because our hope now is that it acts as a deterrent that people mm-hmm. will stop committing crimes, obviously, and stop being bad guys. And so we don't have to use the cameras. So there is an element of secrecy during an active investigation. So we may not put pictures of suspects. We may not even identify the people that we have interest in until we have the need to.
Right.
But we're talking about the cameras. And, I mean, again, it's no secret that we have cameras out there. We have nothing to hide. We have cameras
right.
in certain locations, and we want people to know that these are on roadways. And if you're driving a stolen car, that tag might ping to one of our deputies in the area. We might try to get you stopped.
And as you've mentioned, it's places where a deputy would be perfectly justified in standing with eyeballs or, you know, binoculars or whatever, doing surveillance because it's where law enforcement can go. It's a public area.
It's where anyone can go. It's where the media can go. It's where anyone can go.
Right. I do want to ask, though, because we brought it up a couple times. You're a big believer in freedom. You're a big believer in individual rights, in the Constitution, in personal privacy. You love America. I mean, all the things, you know.
I do love America.
You do. He really does. So how do you as an agency balance the value, high value of all of this technology against the concern that, well, eventually too much technology means less personal freedom, less individual rights, and the ability of a government in the wrong hands to take advantage of people and kind of take away what makes America special in that regard. How do you think about that?
Well, we certainly have no intention of restricting anyone's freedom. I don't see where cameras on the roadways, which again is not a right, it's a privilege to drive in a roadway, so you have to have a license, and you have to have your car registered. So there's no freedom being taken away in this scenario. I can simply tell you that these are in public areas, as you just mentioned. This is an area where everyone is free to go. You're free to go. Media is free to go. I'm free to go. And law enforcement officers are free to patrol, right? And we have in-car cameras and we have body cameras. Almost everyone now has security cameras in their store or in their residence. So again, I don't see the, you know, someone claiming that their freedom was taken away when this is a privilege to be on the roadway in the first place.
And I think one of the things Andy told me when we were there is you only keep records for 30 days unless they are something that is important to a case. So everything gets deleted.
It automatically gets deleted, yeah. Right. It gets written over after 30 days.
Whether that's from a protecting people's privacy or from a, you know, how much data we'd have to be storing if we kept all the video for 2 years or something like that. So is your phone's dinging? You going to get to stay with us for a minute?
Yeah, no. It's it was just reminding that the cameras are exempt from public records.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Very good. Good note. Thank you. Robbery, armed robbery last night. Fairfield and W Street, raceway.
I just got the email a little bit ago about we had an armed robbery mail with a handgun. Asked for money and then he fled in the area. So that's all we have right now. And it was at the raceway, as you just mentioned, on W and Fairfield. And so if anyone has information on who might have committed this crime, let us know. And I can imagine that our real-time crime center is actively looking to see if there's any cameras in that particular area. We obviously are going to use the whatever surveillance camera they may have had at the raceway itself and put together as big a piece as we can and see if we can catch the bad guy.
And this was actually in the store of the store was the robbery, or this
the store itself.
Okay. We also had several other incidents. You know, last week was the week before last was kind of quiet, so this week, you know, sort of making up for it, unfortunately. But let's see, we had a 48-year-old Quincy Hollins, who was wanted for domestic violence, attempted homicide after a shooting outside the McDonald's on Mobile Highway. But you guys have arrested him, or Santa Rosa, is that what happened?
Yeah, he was located in Santa Rosa County. We certainly appreciate their assistance. We did arrest him. He fired a single shot into the car that his, ex-girlfriend was driving. Or current girlfriend, I'm assuming now it's ex, and then he fled the scene. But again, we were assisted by Santa Rosa County. We ended up putting him in jail, charged him with attempted homicide.
Huh. Okay. We also had a pretty significant SWAT operation. I think it was Wednesday in Ferry Pass. This is a weird story. There's a lot of weird stuff going on in this story.
Yeah. Well, it started weird. We got a call that a guy was acting a bit erratic. And he was swinging a bat and damaging the stop sign. So clearly they're going to call law enforcement. When we get there, it's evident to us that he's going through some sort of a mental crisis of some sort. So we try to talk to him. We don't jump him or anything like that. And then ultimately he ends up getting, after threatening the deputy, the first initial deputy that arrived there, ended up going, you know, retreating back to his house. And then because we had aggravated assault with a bat on the deputy, and then obviously whatever he did to the stop sign. But
he used a bat on the deputy. Okay.
No, he had the bat in his hand, and he was threatening the deputy.
I see. Okay.
He did not strike the deputy, no. But it is a felony. Aggravated assault is a felony. And so we got a warrant for him and then called a SWAT team out because, again, we needed to make contact with him. Ultimately, we were able to talk him into stepping outside, and then we were able to use a non-lethal round to subdue him and then take him to the county jail where he can be further evaluated.
And this was the one where he was shooting fireworks at you guys?
Yes. Yeah. He was shooting fireworks at us.
Like bottle rockets, Roman candles? I mean, that
I don't know
stuff.
What kind, but I'm assuming it was a bottle rocket type.
Okay.
Firework.
All right. Well, I'm glad everybody's safe and apprehended.
And that's the important part, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a successful resolution for us is that an individual gets what they need. Sometimes mm-hmm. they need to go to jail. Sometimes they need services. Sometimes they need counseling. And they can get all of those things.
And I'm guessing that your deputies didn't wake up that morning thinking they were going to get Roman candle shot at them that afternoon or whatever. That was probably not on the bingo card for that day. But you never know. Things happen every day.
I tell people when they talk about becoming deputies or law enforcement officers, I tell you it's a first-class ticket to the greatest show on earth. What you get? Because it's always something
different, right?
It's, yeah. You know, you cannot possibly train for every scenario that we engage in.
If you want boring, go elsewhere. I've talked to some of the deputies, and, you know, sometimes they get recruited to other agencies and then they regret it because nothing happening, you know, just pulling people over and giving them tickets. Woohoo. You know?
Well, you know, it's if you want a career in law enforcement, in true law enforcement, you want to be able to help as much as you possibly can, then go to a bigger city, go to a more active community. Mm-hmm. And that's why I chose a larger agency or middle-sized agency.
Yeah, yeah.
We respond at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office to nearly 300,000 calls a year.
That's one per person, by the way, because we've got 330,000 people in the county. That's an enormous number of call volume.
Well, there are some people that hog up
frequent
calls.
Yeah, multiple times. We also had a Henry Shoemaker, I think, was arrested after fatally stabbing a man during an argument in Moreno Court.
Yeah, this was a fight or a disturbance over wine. And I don't know exactly, you know, I don't know if it was who drank the wine, whose wine it was initially, or what happened, but it started with a fight over wine and ended up in a stabbing. Unfortunately, the victim passed away, and we ended up charging Mr. Shoemaker with homicide. Mm.
And again, you know, solved the crime and have him arrested, so that's good. Terrible incident, though. You also had, this is just kind of a weird one, and it's more notable because the person who got arrested is full of face tats, funny-looking guy. But he was riding in the back seat when his friend was driving with the high beams on. That got him pulled over, and then what happened?
Well, you know, you can't, if you got your high beams on, either they're incorrectly positioned or they're on, and that can affect an individual driving in the opposite direction, driving towards that car. So our deputy stopped the car, and then we had a canine search alerted. And then ultimately, we end up finding where he was sitting, where he was positioned, a bag that contained drugs, methamphetamines, and a gun, and ended up putting him in jail.
Okay.
I'll be honest, I didn't see the picture of him.
Oh, it's something. It's something. I don't know what else to tell you. And also, I think that's kind of all the incidents, big, you know, major incidents. But I did want to note, actually, John Pickens is the one who picked up on this, that you have a brand new piece of jewelry.
Well, jewelry, yeah.
I mean, it's an adornment.
Well, yeah. We have, as you know, 2026 is the 250th birthday of the United States. You mentioned I love my country. I love my country. And so we have basically purchased for the deputies. The deputies can buy them themselves, but we purchased them.
Made them available.
Made them available for the deputies. And it is and to commemorate 250 years. It's got the two flags on it, the original flag of the United States and the current flag of the United States. And you'll see those probably on some of the deputies that choose to purchase those. This is not, they weren't purchased with general fund dollars, but deputies do have an opportunity to purchase them. If they purchase them, they can wear them for this year.
And I'm looking at it here. It's a flag on both sides, U.S. flag on both sides. It's the star with the Escambia County logo in Florida in the middle. It's a very nice badge. Hey, John, turn our mics off for just a second here.
Badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
But you can purchase, if you're a deputy, the 250.
I just do need to make sure that people understand the foundation purchased them. Escambia County Sheriff Foundation purchased them. And then they are offering them to the deputies. They already ordered them, actually, at cost. So no one's making money off of this. It is just basically our way of saying we appreciate 200 years of being the greatest country this world has ever known. And this is our way of kind of displaying that. So, yeah, you can see we'll probably put a post
out
today. They're
very – I mean, I'm telling you, people are going to notice. They're very cool.
Again, it's got the old flag, the new flag. It's got the little Minuteman in it. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Can a civilian buy them?
We're offering them to our deputies.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice way of saying no. Okay, fair enough.
Again, that cost, no general fund dollars. Thank you to the foundation for coming
up. I guarantee you John wants one. John is going to sneak up in somebody's locker at the gym. He's going to go rifling through somebody's guy. He's going to try to. John, am I giving away too many of your tactics already?
Yes, stop.
Okay, sorry about that.
Okay.
Sheriff Simmons, as always, thank you for the time. I was dead serious about it. You love the country, you love this area, you love Pensacola, Escambia County, the people here serving them. And, it's kind of weird. You know, people really. Andy Hobbs is bragging about you a lot, but everybody that I know has the same attitude. You know, they're just very, very grateful that you're the sheriff. So thank you for what you do.
I love my country, and I love my county, and I'm certainly proud to be the sheriff of Escambia County.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much. All right, there you go. 554 on News Radio 92.3. And, John, you and I were talking about this, that I don't think they can probably sell the badges to the public.
Right.
Because I don't know that it's a great idea to have the public walking around with the Scambia County Sheriff's official badges.
Oh, I'd be wearing it.
Yeah, but I know you would. You'd wear, like, one on a gold chain. You'd wear one on your forehead.
Oh, yeah, they'd be everywhere.
But I do think they could issue like challenge coins or some other version of it.
Right.
And it'd be a great fundraiser because let's say the thing takes, I don't really know what a challenge coin costs to make, but let's say it's $5. I mean, people would pay 10. They'd probably pay 20. You know, you could probably make a pretty good chunk of change if the foundation got some version of this that could be made available to the public. I think a lot of people would want to have.
Oh, I think so, too.
They're very nice. 555 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 when guests from Pensacola State College will be discussing everything from registration to graduation and so much more. And did you know that 92% of PSC students graduate loan-free? Learn more today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with guests from Pensacola State College.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA Customer Service Department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
When I heard I needed a heart transplant, I thought it was game over. All I could think about was the memories that I wouldn't be able to make with my family.
Then an angel entered our lives as an organ donor. Their decision to register as a donor saved my husband's life.
Save lives, say yes. Register today as a donor at DonateLifeFlorida.org.
This message is sponsored by Donate Life Florida and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
So you're going to tell me that you don't have no black hats, no Roman candles or screaming memes?
No.
Oh, come on, man. You don't got no lady fingers, buzz buttles, snicker bombs, church burners, finger blasters, gut busters, zippity doodahs, or crap flappers?
No, I don't.
You're going to stand there owning a fireworks stand and tell me you don't have no whistling bungholes, no spleen splitters, whisker biscuits, honky lighters, hoosker do's, hoosker don'ts, cherry bombs, nips-a-dazers, with or without the scooter stick, or one single whistling kitty chaser?
No.
I had audience participation suggest that I missed my... When I did play the stinking badges comment with Chip from Treasure Sierra Madre, but I did not play the Joe Dirt clip when he's talking about the fireworks being used to go at his officers. So, fair enough. Now we've done it all. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. As I stall for time to get my screen back where it needs to be.
That is the first time that's ever happened.
Never before. I'm always right here on it.
Sort of the radio talent premiere.
Absolutely. Preliminary numbers showing a drop in Obamacare enrollment. According to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, 22.8 million consumers signed up for 2026 individual market health insurance compared to 23.6 million who enrolled around this time last year. Consumers have until January 15th to sign up for those marketplace plans.
That's because everybody has found affordable insurance in some other way, and the insurance marketplace is completely solved, then Obama gets all the credit.
Absolutely.
Or because the premiums for Obamacare are going to go through the roof because of the change in subsidies and people respond to price information. Is that maybe more likely?
Well, I guess there is a possibility
okay,
around
right, yeah,
too.
It's hard to figure these things out.
Timothy Busfield has turned himself in, Andrew. Authorities in New Mexico had issued a warrant for his arrest earlier this month. He's accused of sexually abusing two boys that were child actors on a show he directed. Busfield denies those allegations.
All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. Yeah, it's another, you know, story about a person who was a fantastic actor and then on the side, or at least on one set, wasn't so great.